Galatians chapter 2. It says there in verse 20. I want you to look at verse 20 with me for just a minute. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How do you die and live at the same time? How can you be crucified and yet be alive? Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm not living by myself, not living on my own strength, not living my life in the flesh. It's Christ that lives in me. That's why I'm alive. And I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't believe that means the faith that we have in Him, but I believe that the faithfulness of Him who loved us is what that means. I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. There's sometimes, which I don't know about you all, but faith is very, very hard for me to come by occasionally. Sometimes I feel like I don't have any. But right here, that's what it says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now this message here that I'm going to use tonight would have been the message that if I would have preached it Saturday, a week ago Saturday, would have been what I'd have said at Mary's funeral. This is the message right here. This is what I would have said. And I'd used a little of it when I talked. But there are two books in the Scriptures. Two books, not the Old Testament, not the New Testament. Look in Genesis 5 with me just a minute. And here's the first book that I want to talk about. Genesis chapter 5. There's two books. Now there's more than two, but these are the two books. You're into them, one or the other. The Apostle Paul said, I want to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness. God's going to find us either in Christ or in Adam, one or the other. I remember a young man years and years ago sitting out in our backyard. We had a picnic table out there, and we were sitting there, and Scott Richardson was sitting there. And back in those days, preachers stayed with us all the time. There was a young fellow there from Indiana. And he was sitting there at the table. He had made a profession some time before that. He had what they called backslid. He quit. In fact, he never was a believer. But to make a long story short, Brother Scott called him brother. Called him by his name. And he says, Scott said, I'm not your brother. Said, I'm not saved. And Scott said, well, if I don't catch you in Christ, I catch you in Adam. You know, we're brothers one way or another, either in Adam or in Christ. But look what it said here in Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created him, in the likeness of God made he him. Did you hear that? Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. There's a great change right here now. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Not after the likeness of God. Not after the likeness that God made him, in the likeness of God himself. Adam fell, and he begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and called his name Seth. And he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Adam were 130 years in verse 5. And listen to this. And he died. Go down to verse 8. And he died. Go down to verse 11. And he died. Everybody in that book, in the book of the generation of Adam, died. Died. Died to life in God. Died to righteousness. Died to... and became alive to sin. And that's why they died. Now look in Matthew chapter 1 with me just a moment. Here's another book Here's another book, Matthew chapter 1. And then these two books are the books of the generation of Adam. Death, wherefore as by one man, death entered into this world, because death is passed upon all men, in that all men have sinned. That one man's sin, that one man's disobedience, became our sin, became our disobedience. Sin and curse came upon the human race because of that one man. And now looky here. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And though you go down through there, Jews begat Pharaoh, and Jacob begat Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and you go right down through there. Not nobody died. Everybody in this book. If you're in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Jacob have a loved and Esau have a hated. The son of David sitting on the throne, all raised up to sit in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that book of life, the book of Moses in Jesus Christ, this is the book where no one dies. And Paul talked to the Philippians. He said, talk about my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And all beloved, and I tell you, this book of life, you know where it started at? There's those names who are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God don't write His people's names down in the book of life and put them in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ when they believe. They believe because He already put their name in the book of life. My name was there, and if you're a believer, your name was there, and if you're going to be a believer, your name was there. And it's just a matter of time before the Lord Jesus lets you know if your name's there. Mary's name was written there. It was written there before I ever met her and before she ever met me. It was written there before me and her ever laid eyes on one another. Written there, beloved, before we ever became believers. It was written there. Why would their Herman and Ethel name her Mary Elizabeth Tucker? You know why? Because that was the name God said and name her. You know why she became Mary Elizabeth Tucker Bell? Because God said, I'm going to cross your path with this woman, and you and her will be united in marriage and live your lives. And by God's grace, bring honor to His name if you'd enable it. Oh, listen. Well, our names. Names are written. Names are important. Names are important. God even told people to what name to give their children sometimes. And I'll tell you something about it, beloved. My name, Mary's name, and your name was in all of these books. Her name was also in the book of Adam. My name was in the book of Adam too. What do you mean by that? That means that we were dead in sins. Shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin, under the curse. God pronounced on Adam. We lived in sin, were shapen in sin, and loved sin, delighted in sin, and rejoiced in sin. But blessed be the name of the Lord. That's not the only book. If that were the only book God left us in, we'd be at all men most miserable. But bless the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's something that I preached on this morning. Christ came into this world to save sinners. Huh? Look what He says over here in Matthew 9. Look what He says in Matthew 9. Mary wrote down some scriptures. She said, these are some of my favorite scriptures. And this is some she wrote down on the list of the pallbearers she had. On the songs to be sung. On the people who was going to sing them. She wrote down some scriptures. She said, these scriptures are precious to me. And look what it says in verse 11. Well, in verse 10 it said, it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, David, behold, they don't need a doctor. You know who needs a doctor? People that are sick. Sick, sin sick, soul sick. Sick of all the flesh and all the misery that they go through. But he says, you go and you learn what that means. I'll have mercy. I don't want anything you got to offer. I don't want any sacrifice you can give me. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. And I tell you what, then that's the thing, is sin must be atoned for. Whether it's in me, whether it's in you, whether it's in Mary, wherever it's found, sin must be atoned for. And this man only receives sinners and eats with them. But all sin must be atoned for. Sin must be paid for. But not only was her name in the book of the Adam, that generation of all those that died. You know that. You know the why she died. I'm going to tell you. She died the same reason I'm going to die and you're going to die, because we, this body, this flesh, is under the curse. God said, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. You die spiritually, and then we're going to die. If there wasn't any sin in us, no sin in our bodies, we would live, because we would never get old. We would never get weary. We'd never get sick. We'd just be in perfect health all the time. But it's because of this horrible thing called sin, this awful thing called the curse. And I tell you and I tell anybody, bless God, when you leave this world, you're out from under that curse once and for all. You don't bear its effect anymore, but you'll bear it all the way till the time you close your eyes. Death's ugly. Death's hard. And why is it hard? Why is it ugly? Because it's sin and the curse. Because of this miserable, miserable thing that Adam done to us. But bless God forevermore, she was also not in that book of the generation of Adam, but she was in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. She was in that book of life. And this life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he says, what Galatians 2:20 says, the Lord Jesus gave himself for me. For me. For me. And she could say that, he gave his life for me. She could say, Lord, have mercy on me, and Christ would have mercy. She'd say, Lord, I need you, and Christ would come to her need. And we do the same thing. But look what Gary's done quoted. But look at this with me just a minute in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 25. You see, the life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where life is found. Oh, we have death in Christ, in Adam, but we have life in Christ. We still bear the effects of that curse. And God said, we go from dust we come to dust we're going to go back. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave Mary life from the dead. Look what he said here. Down in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You reckon he wouldn't have? Oh yeah, he would have. You don't reckon the Lord Jesus was with Mary and she died. The Lord Jesus is with me and I'm going to die. They're going to dig a grave and put me right beside him. I don't care. Christ is with you. That's what Paul says, you know, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Everyone who Christ loves and everyone who Christ died for, they're still going to have to go by way of the grave. Paul did it. Abraham did it. Abraham went and brought his own grave. Took his wife, first one that he put, first one to go in his tomb that he bought was his wife. That's the first person he buried was Sarah, his wife. And oh, but I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha had faith. She believed in what Gary read tonight. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said. I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection from sin. I'm the resurrection from death. I'm the resurrection from corruption. I'm the resurrection from death of sin. I'm the resurrection that gives you life from your death in sins, from your sinfulness, from everything about. I give you life. I resurrect men from the dead. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear, what happens to them? They live. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, dead in trespasses and sins, yet shall he live. Now he wasn't talking about Lazarus believing right here, because Lazarus couldn't believe. He was already dead. And oh, listen. He that hath the Son, what does he say? Hath life. Hath life. And let me tell you something about this life that Christ gives. It's eternal life. Eternal life. I've got all the life I'm going to have right now that Christ gave me. I believe in Him. And I know, I was here to take care and see that Mary was taken care of and that she was put away and things went well. But now who in the world is going to do that for me? What if my children going to do it? You going to do it? Who's going to speak over me? Will Bruce Crabtree still be around? But it's going to happen. But I have eternal life. She had eternal life. That's why you could look her in the eye and kiss her on the brow and hold her hand and hug her and say, sweetheart, go ahead and let go. Just go ahead and everything's done. It needs to be done. Go ahead and go on to be with the Lord. Quit, oh, just go on. Let it go on. Just go on. Because that's life. We're nothing but a body here. And Mary didn't enter into eternal life when she'd last breath left her body. She had eternal life in Christ from before the foundation of the world. God gave it to her in Christ. Just as sure as her eyes closed in death and how she drew that last breath, she went to glory that quick. Now what kind of body she has, I have no idea, but I know where she's at. And she, the first thing she saw, last thing she saw was me when her eyes was open, but the last thing she saw when they was closed was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what she said. She had life in Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. And nobody is ever going to pluck them out of my Father's hands. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all. She said several times, the sicker she got, she said, Lord, won't you just take me today? Just take me today. Let me go sleep tonight and wake up with you. But that wasn't the way the Lord meant for it to be. Tell you something about dying. There's two things about it that I know for sure. If you die suddenly, you're going to leave people's hearts hurting, wondering, why didn't I get to say goodbye? Oh, if I'd only knew it was going to happen. So dying suddenly, that's good for the person who does. That heart attack, just go like that. That's good for the person it happens to. It's hard on the people left behind. And the thing about somebody lingering and lingering, you get to say goodbye. You get to spend a lot of time with them. But either way it goes, it's still a heartache. It's still dying. It's still fading away. It's still leaving you. It's still left by yourself. So there ain't nothing romantic about it. Nothing beautiful about it other than to go be with Christ. Look at Ed. It took him what? He just withered up to nothing. But I wish, but how in the world could our Lord Jesus Christ save Mary from her sin and death and give her this eternal life? I tell you how he did it. By bearing her sin in his own body on the tree. He took her sin, made it his sin. Took her death, made it his death. Took her curse, made it his curse. Took everything that was against her and took it to himself. In that Christ died unto sin once, likewise we died unto sin once in Christ. And that's why Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. When was she crucified with Christ? When Christ was. When Christ died, she died. When Christ was buried, she was buried. When our Lord Jesus Christ arose, she arose with him. We are so in union with our Lord Jesus Christ that everything he does, everything he did, we partake with it. Is that not right? Oh, what a blessed gospel we have. That our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who did it. What would it have been like if we had to believe that she or me or you or anybody had to do something to get ready to die other than Christ making us ready? Oh, listen. Here's another one of her favorite scriptures. 2 Samuel 23:5. 2 Samuel 23:5. She wrote this one down. I'd read her the scriptures. We'd be sitting. She said, read to me. And I was reading through the Proverbs at the time. And she says, you know, God makes a big distinction there all the time. Talks about the fool and then the righteous. Talks about the fool and then the wise. God made such a distinction between the wicked and the fool and his people over here. It always say the wicked are this way, the foolish are this way, but the righteous are this way. And the path of the just shineth more and more and more unto the perfect day. And it shined and it shined and it shined. And now it's a perfect day. Perfect day. But look what he said here now. Verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things. You know what that means? That means everything's going to happen to you in this life. And this thing is sure. This is all my salvation. It's all my desire. Although he make not my house to grow, though he make not salvation to grow in my home, what he means. Well, why did our Lord Jesus, turn back to Galatians with me just a minute. Why did our Lord Jesus Christ bear her sin? Why did he die her death? Why did he become the sacrifice for her sin? Why did he do that? First reason is because he loved her. And he didn't start loving her when she existed. He said, "Yea, I love thee with an everlasting love, and with cords of loving kindness I have drawn thee." And having loved his own, he loved them right to the very end. I loved her. Oh, nobody, I don't doubt it. I did. I don't just did, I do. But not a drop in the bucket. I love her. There's not a drop in the bucket to how Christ loved her. How Christ loved her. Oh, how he loved her. You know how much love it took for somebody to bear her sins? Say, "I love you enough that I'll take everything, all your sin. I'll take all your shame. I'll take all your guilt. I'll take Adam's sin that you have. I'll take everything you ever done. And I'll bear them myself. And then after I bear them, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to give you my obedience and I'm going to give you my righteousness and I'm going to clothe you in that. I'm going to put a wedding garment on you. Because you're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and you've got to have a wedding garment to be there." Huh? That's what it says here now. I live, blessed part of verse 20. I live by the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God who loved me, who loved me, who loved me, and gave himself for me. Tell you another reason why he did that. Because she was one of his elect. One of his elect. "Know you not, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I chose you in me before the foundation of the world. I set my affections on you." He was one of his sheep. He said, "Oh, listen, I lay down my life for the sheep." And that's one of them sheep. And that's it. She's one of them lost sheep until he found her. And he come found us. Come way out into the wilderness. Come way out into sin. Come way out there in this awful, awful religion and all the things that we were in. And found her. Found her. And said, "Oh, listen," picked her up, put her on his shoulder. And you know when he set her down? When she got into glory. You never did find the Lord Jesus Christ taking that sheep off his shoulder. Oh my. Well, and I tell you, the Lord made a promise to her. And he kept it. He kept it. He said, "I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll come to where you are. I'll come again. And I'll receive you." You put your name there. Put anybody's name there. "I will receive you unto myself." Said, "Where I am, where I am, you can be there with me." Oh, where I am. Where I am. Where is he at? People have such carnal notions of heaven. Oh, talk about streets of gold, walls of pearl. But we want to go to be with Christ. He said, "I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So wherever Christ is right now, that's where the Lord, that's where she is. Today, he told that seed, today, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. David, when he lost his son, before he lost him, he wept and he mourned and he wouldn't eat. He didn't wash. And he caught the folks whispering around. He got up and he asked them, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is." He got up, washed himself, had himself a meal. They said, "What's the matter with you?" He says, "I can't bring him back where I am, but I can go where he is. I can go where he is." One last verse, and let me read it to you. You want to read this? Psalm 17 and verse 15. I want you to read this with me. Psalm 17:15. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." I'll behold your face in your righteousness, and I'll behold you with a face that is righteous. My face will be righteous, your face will be righteous. You got to have a righteousness before you can face it. "And I will behold thy face in righteousness," and listen to this, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy light." Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the grace of God, the love of Christ, the electing grace and sovereign mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessed, blessed hope we have, not only for her, but for ourselves. Oh, the ones that went before us, so many we love, so many we know. And Lord, we have to part because we know that it's your will. It's your will, Lord, that we give up those we love. You take them to be with yourself. You know what's best for every one of us. You know what's good. And Lord, we would never do anything but kiss your blessed hand of providence and bless your holy name, because no one's like you. Oh, Father, thank you that she went to glory not by anything she did, had no hope in you because of anything she did. She went to glory because everything that you did for her and you did for us. God bless your holy, glorious name. Lord Jesus, thank you for that blood that cleanses from all sin. God bless these dear saints. Meet their needs, strengthen and encourage them. Lord, I thank you for every home, every family. Please keep them and preserve them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.